Well, good morning, everyone. I'm going to work you really hard. We're going to turn to Titus chapter 2 and stay there. So you don't have to do a lot of turning from passage to passage. I want to talk to you about sound doctrine. Sound doctrine for all ages. Sound doctrine is sound teaching. And it is really what separates a good public speaker or someone that's regarded as such from that of a faithful gospel preacher of Jesus Christ. Sound doctrine. In Titus chapter 2, it's always been one of my favorites. I learned early on when I started preaching that there's nothing better than a text that would say to someone who's going to preach, this is sound teaching, and preach this sound teaching. And so he then goes on throughout chapter 2, and he talks to everybody. He gives a lot of thought for all of us. And the reason that Paul told young Timothy to speak things which are proper for sound doctrine is because that is the teaching that is needed for everyone. The Greek word, not that you need to know this as far as what it is, but more of what it means, the word sound is used to speak of the wellness of a person's health. You could use this word to talk about a person's physical health. But more importantly, it is used figuratively to speak of a person that is of spiritual soundness. And so it is used to speak of things that are true and a person's spiritual health or things that are whole and free from error, which is exactly what all of us need, is we need the truth. We need sound teaching to help us to better ourselves. And so it isn't a surprise to any of us that Paul would also tell Timothy these types of things. So if you look at 2 Timothy 1 and verse 13, he says, hold fast the pattern of sound words. Same idea, words that are going to be a benefit to those that are hearing. In chapter 4, verse 2 through 4, and I do want you to hold your place, and I do want you, in fact, it's the same opening on mine, but in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, he says in verse 2, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. And so Paul again is telling this young man, Timothy, that you need to teach and preach sound doctrine, sound words. Give words that are going to be a benefit to the hearer. And it does no one interested. It will do you no good at all this morning if there is not spiritual things, if it's just to talk to talk. And so you recall that I mentioned Brother Caldwell said when he was being asked about his many years of preaching, Collie, he said, my number one point is that you need to start your lesson with Scripture and not a joke. And so you recall last week when I was looking up, well, how much does Joel Osteen make? What's he worth? And you remember I told you, he's worth a whopping $100 million. Well, when I was actually looking up that figure, I decided, you know what, I'm going to click on one of his lessons. And you know what he started his lesson off with? He started his lesson off with an old joke. I mean, it was so old, he just chose a different name. I heard it a different way. But he just started, it had nothing to do with anything. And I thought, well, where's he going to go with this? He just told the joke, gave his big grin, and then off on, he went on some better felt thing. It does no one any good to just talk, to hear yourself talk. And so the reason that he told Titus in Titus chapter 2 and verse 1 is he said that you need to speak the things that are proper for sound doctrine. And then what he does is he proceeds to give sound teaching for older men, older women, young men, and also a bondservant, or as we'll talk today, any type of, for us, it's not that we are bondservants the way they were in the Old Testament, but I think we can talk about what are my responsibilities to those that are over me, maybe supervisors, maybe the boss of a company or something of that nature. And so we'll get some things out of that as well. But as a young man, when I first started preaching, this was easy in a sense for me because I didn't have to be a husband. I didn't have to be a woman. I didn't have to be someone that had children. I could take this text as we're going to do. Now, this in and of itself, I've preached this in years past where I would spend one whole sermon just on older men. I would have one sermon for older women and maybe combine the two with the younger women because they kind of blend together. And then I would talk to the young men. But I'm going to talk through all of this. So you're going to be here till, I hope you're not getting too hungry yet. But no, we're going to go through this, but I'm going to have to go through it quickly. I'm not going to give you a lot of illustrations. I'm just going to talk to you about what these words mean. So he begins in verse 2, talking to the aged men. And here's what he says. He says that the older men be sober. That the older men be sober. And so he's addressing an older man's character. And it's worthy to note that just because you grow older, it does not automatically make a believer more godly or more effective in their service to God. Just because you got older. Now, you should, because there's maturity, there's a wealth of experience, and you're growing. That's the way it should be. But just because you grow older does not mean that this is who you'll become. All of these things are things that we have to work at and we have to become because, again, here is the gentle reminder from Paul as he says, Titus, you need to teach these things. So here's a young man going to tell the older men, and my old King James Version said aged. And I always made the point that I'm not going to tell anybody what category they fall in. But I hope you'll be honest. So don't come up and say, which one do I fit in? Because I'm not that dumb and going to stick my foot in my mouth. I've learned to not do that. So as he's talking to the older men, he says, you need to be sober. And that is, in the Greek, that is free from intoxication. And that's the word that the Bible uses because it, what it's saying is what intoxication does is it takes away your clear thinking. And so by using that word sober, he's saying, listen, you have to have a sound mind. And the way you would do that is you'd say, you know what alcohol does. So he's basically saying it's the opposite of that. So he's basically saying you need to have clear thinking. And there needs to be a stability. And older men need to have stable thinking. And Paul said you have to put away childish things as you mature. And so there should be some wisdom there in realizing that this would be appropriate or this would be inappropriate because you have clear thinking. This would be the time to do this or this would be the time not to do that. And being able to make that discernment. We've talked about discernment. He says that there needs to be reverence. And that is the idea of older men need to be serious. They need to be dignified. There needs to be honesty. They need to be honorable. And so the Lord's church, of course, would need older men who are very reverent. And so that's what he's getting at. He's saying this is the demeanor. So think about someone who's maturing and they're putting away things that would not be reverent. There are those that, you know, it's hard to listen to because they're never serious. I've known gospel preachers that they're more jokesters. And so, and then they turn it off, of course, when they get into the pulpit, which is a good thing. But sometimes you wonder, do they ever grow up? And then he says that they are to be temperate, or which is our word, self-control. And so the older men, that would say, listen, you need to be moderate in your passions and in your opinions. There needs to be self-control. And the older male Christians need to become stable in their actions, stable in their emotions. And so this, then he says, they are to be sound in faith. And this word sound, again, would go back to our word that we're talking about, spiritually healthy. And he says, in faith, in love. So as I have it up here, you got to be sound in faith. Sound goes with in love, and sound goes with in patience. And so it's applied to all three. So what does it mean to be sound in faith? Well, this man is not going to be wishy-washy. This is somebody that's faithful. This is somebody that's grounded. This is somebody that has matured, and in their faith, they realize that there's nothing more important in their life than that which is spiritual. That's where our end is going. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Hear the whole conclusion. Fear God and keep His commandments. Why? Because you're going to bring everything into judgment. All the secret things, good or bad. So this is a person that is sound in faith. They're strong in their convictions in Christ. You think about sound, you think about grounded upon the Word of God. He says sound in love. Well, what kind of love? Well, I would think it'd include all. What you're talking about is you're talking about having the best interest, which is when we think about love, is that's the interest of others in mind. But more importantly, think about sound in love. My love for God is sound, is solid, is stable. My love for truth is sound and stable. My love for my brethren is sound and stable. My love for my wife, my spouse, is sound and stable. My love for my family, my love for my neighbor. Think about Jesus saying, love your enemies. You're talking about sound in love. Somebody that gets it. God loves me and I love others. And then he says, sound in patience. And that word patience is, that doesn't mean you're standing in the checkout line, although you need to have that kind of patience. It really is the idea of enduring and constant. There has to be stability and a constant in the life. And when there's hardships, well, you're sound in patience. You endure them. When there's disappointments, that's okay. You accept them. Why? Well, you know the end of your endurance is eternal life. You see, we talked about on Wednesday night in the invitation, our hope. How important our hope is. That's the hope that we have that keeps us enduring. And the more I endure, the more experience I get. The scriptures talk about how there is a development of these things. And so this is a man that if you just look at those words as a whole, this would be who you would describe. You'd say, well, that's an older Christian that is godly, that's the most important thing in their life. And so all of those, and as I said, we could spend all the time, we could talk, but I want you to understand this text has something for everyone. And so if you're an older man, these are the things that you're encouraged to be, to do, to develop. And so you'll have to take all those, you'll have to take that to heart, and you'll have to measure up, you'll have to look into your life, you'll have to say, you know, I need to work on that. And don't just, as we talked about the other day, don't just hear, but say, I need to do that. And like we talked about, don't let that gap happen between hearing and doing, where everything gets in the way. And we don't end up doing it. So if you want to take that passage and you want to reflect on it, if you think, well, what do I want to study on? What should I study on? Take that one. Give careful thought to every one of those this week. Really take it to heart and develop into the kind of person God would have you to be. Well, then he moves on to the older women. In verse 3, he says this. He says, you flip my page now. He says, the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanders, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. So now this is where the men say, whew, okay, now he's going to talk to the women. Well, listen, I've said many times, we're blessed. Don't look at this to say, oh, now he's, look at this and say, God has given me. As a godly woman or a godly man, he has given me his word to help me become the person that he would have me to be. And so he says to the older women that they be reverent in behavior. Well, older women need to behave themselves in such a way so as to profess holiness and godliness. That's what it means to be reverent in behavior. And if I back this up, you know, number 2 was reverent. And so is the older man. to be honorable, respectful, integrity. And so it is. But here he adds the word behavior. And so he says there needs to be the type of reverent behavior, behaving in such a way so as to actually live out the kind of life that God would have you live as an older woman. He says, not a slanderer. Now, again, you start thinking about, well, why in the world? Well, I'm not going to, you know, it is easy to get caught up. And I think that this is something we have to accept, that God created the male and God created the female, and he made them different, and he knows their strengths, and he knows their weaknesses. And so he says, not to slander. Well, what that tells me is that older women have the tendency, perhaps, to get caught up in their emotions and then falsely accuse or defame others. And he says, don't do that. Now, I don't know that I understand all the reasons as to why he would say that, but many things are best left unspoken. And we've talked a lot about that in the past. And so, not slanderers. Older women are often shown. And in fact, in comedy, if you think about the Andy Griffith Show, some of the funny episodes are when the older women are, because there's truth in the comedy, and that's why everybody thinks it's funny. But they're gossiping because there's truth in that humor. And then it's funny when they get Barney involved, and Barney's doing the same thing. And he's spreading around all of these types of rumors, and when we laugh. But, you know, what I'm saying is that is known. We kind of understand those things. He says, so no, to the older woman, don't be slanderous. He says, not given to much wine. Now, this one's a little more difficult because no Christian should be enslaved to intoxicating drink. So the thought is that there was problems in Crete where Titus is, he's been sent to Crete. And it seems that is, in fact, perhaps a problem here. But this is something that would take away your sobriety. And so he's basically saying, listen, do not be given to that. And then he says, kind of an overall broad way, he says, teacher of good things. There's an awful lot of misinformation out there. There's an awful lot of inappropriate and bad behavior among women, even among Christians. And older women are to teach the good things, the good things. Now, you need to stop and think, well, how do I do that? What would that mean? Well, one, you would have to understand you have to do it by your example. Because there's a lot, in this day and time, there's a lot of inappropriate and bad behavior among women, as well as men, not negating that. But these young women are just as vulgar and indecent and inappropriate and immodest and have no shame. They need someone to be teaching good things. So he moves into, and so this becomes in verses 4 and 5, it kind of becomes, you don't teach something that you yourself are not doing. So you continue on thinking about yourself as an older woman. But he says in verse 4 that they admonish the younger women. And that word admonish means to teach or to train. And I will tell you this. It is too easy to stop and say, well, nobody wants to be taught and nobody wants to listen. Preach the word. Be in season and out of season. Reprove and rebuke. You would say, well, nobody wants to hear, so I'm just going to leave. And you'd say, you can't do that. You would expect better. Well, it's kind of the same thing. When there's opportunities, teach and train the younger women to love their husbands. You know what that means? To me, that means there must be a wrong way of doing it if you have to be trained or taught. And I'm not going to spend the time talking about all those things. I'm just telling you, here's something for you to chew on and to really understand. I might add in Ephesians 5 and verse 33, he says to the wives there to respect their husbands. There's not a lot of respect that's shown in entertainment or anything with regards to this at all. And we're living in a day and time that you cannot watch anything now that it's not the lead character is going to be the women. She's out front. The men are going to take the back seat. To love their husbands, to submit to him, to love their children, train them, teach them how to love. There must be a right way and a wrong way to properly train your child. And so there needs to be some of that. Some of the older women, maybe you could say, you know what, I need to have a class. I need to do that. Ladies, let's sit together and let's do this. Let's study this. He says to be discreet. That means to be sensible, to have restraint. Older women teach the younger women to be sensible and have restraint, idea of self-control. That's kind of hard to do if you don't have any of that. Maybe a quick illustration. You know, one of the problems that happens is some of these young ladies grow up with daddy's money. Well, their husband's not making daddy's money. In a lot of ways, those days are gone. Of being with a company for years and years and having a good retirement and those types of things, it's not that way, especially in a time like this. So she has no restraint. She expects all of these things, just kind of a way to what it means to be discreet. No, be sensible. Have restraint. He says to be chaste. That's pure in conduct. That's having a meek and quiet spirit, which in the eyes of God is of great price. Chaste. He says to be homemakers. You know, making a wonderful place for the family to thrive. A homemaker. That is the most precious work that God has given women to do. And if you want a good passage to turn to reflect and think on that, just go read Proverbs 31 and the woman that is described there. Obedient to their own husbands. Older women teach the younger women how to do this. Well, that's not what we see depicted today at all. I mean, we had a district attorney who sat there and said, I don't need a man. No man going to tell me what to do. Obedient to their husband. That's understood in what the Bible says to submit. He's the head and obedience is required. You can't have two heads in a home. And then he moves on to the younger men. In verse 6, likewise exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourselves to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. I like to say I've got both. I'm the aged and the young. So, listen, this is talking about character. Any way you look at it, these are qualities that God would have us to have. Young men, be sober-minded. Seems to me that all Christians should be clear in their thinking. If you get anything out of this, you need to have clear thinking. A pattern of good works. What's he saying? Well, others should be able to follow your example. Follow your example. This is the same. In doctrine, like sound in, he says, in doctrine, you need to have integrity. Teaching that is sound and pure. So when you open your mouth, it ought to be something worth listening to and not just a bunch of idle talk and foolishness. In doctrine, there should be a reverence, respectful, honest. And this is something that I think that's lacking. There's too much joking. I saw it when I was growing up. Too much really disrespect for a lot of different things. The way somebody taught, maybe the way they led singing, and there's just poking of fun and irreverence. You need to have reverence and respect. You need to be honest. In doctrine, incorruptibility. What is that? Genuineness, sincerity. You can't be fake and phony. God sees through all of that. And so he's telling young men, you need to have a sincere and genuine faith and your belief, your doctrine, and your teaching. Sound speech. Why do you need sound speech as a young man? Because you don't want anybody around you picking you apart. Because, as he says, cannot be condemned. Well, you say this and you say that and you do this, but you do that. It just leads to a bunch of confusion and it turns a lot of people off. They see the hypocrisy. Sound in speech. And then something for, again, probably all of us, is he says that there are two bondservants. Let's look at exhort bondservants, verse 9, to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Obedient. We're talking about a subservient role. Now, again, we don't have the type of connection that we in this idea of bond servants in the Old Testament. I'm not a slave, nor are you a slave in the sense that many were, like we see Onesimus and so forth in the book of Philemon. But I think that the teaching is here if we just look at it from the standpoint of someone is over you. That's why I said maybe it's a boss, maybe it's the owner of the company, maybe it's something of that nature. There needs to be obedience. Why? Because it's a subservient role. The one over you is to be obeyed. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's hard. That's hard sometimes. Why? That's hard when the person above you doesn't know what they're doing. And some of you have been in those situations or presently in those situations. I have certainly not, having been for many years in the secular industry, but I have certainly heard it from family members when they've got somebody over them that has no idea what they're doing and how difficult that can be. What is your responsibility? Do the very best that you can and know that they are still over you. Be well-pleasing, he says, in all things, not answering again. You know what that is? That's what I grew up doing and getting a lot of trouble for. That's that old back-talking. You're told to do something, you go away back-talking. Christians should be excellent, trustworthy employees. And even employers, if you're someone that has employees under you. The Scriptures speak to your responsibility as well. Not answering again. It's like doing the best that you can be. And I'll tell you sometimes that that's what it takes, because they see you're different and they respect that. And they maybe treat everybody else that way, but they stop treating you that way. Or they listen to your advice because you have sound advice. Because you've built a relationship, because you're following Scriptures. He says, not pilfering, but showing good fidelity. What does that mean? Not a thief. Not a thief who doesn't take what doesn't belong. You're not taking what doesn't belong to you. But you're faithful and you're honest. And that can be in the smallest of things. The smallest of things. Adorning the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. I love the word adorning. The word adorn means you're putting on a piece of clothing. And so what is he saying? He says you are adorning the doctrine, the teaching of God, our Savior, in some things. That's not what he said. He said in all things. You're wearing the teaching of Christ in all things. And so what could you be other than someone who is a good and faithful bondservant? As I mentioned, this has not been an extensive study of these words this morning, but it should give each of us things to work on, meditate upon. And again, I hope that what you'll do is you'll do as I've asked, is you'll reflect on these things. You'll think more about these. You'll open this passage and you'll think more upon the things that in the category, if you would, that you fit in. Because here is teaching that is meant for you. You in a very personal way. That you can become a better husband, a better wife, an older woman, a younger woman, a young man, a young woman, a better employee, things that you can do to be very pleasing unto God. And Paul told Titus, preach this. Preach this. Speak these things, verse 15, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. And that's the same thing he told Timothy. Don't let anybody despise your youth. You've got the full force of the teaching and the gospel of Jesus Christ. So take those things, if you would, and apply them and look at them and reflect on them and think on them. And I think that you'll consider how much you have to reflect on and think on in the days ahead. There's a lot of things there for you to consider and to grow and to become better and better at. Well, you may be here this morning and you're not a Christian. We want to encourage you to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, willing to open up your mouth and confess your belief in Christ. You can't continue in sin. You have to turn from sin. That's repentance. But then you come and you wash your sins away in the waters of baptism, immersed in water to wash your sins away. Be faithful unto death, and God has promised a crown of life. So it's not that you come up out of the water and that's it. No, you have to become and be faithful. And in those categories, think about being faithful all the days of your life. If we can help you do that, we want to do that. If you are a Christian and you're not being faithful, can we help you in any way as together we all stand and sing?